Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Road Map Escaping the Maze of Madness is a non-fiction work by David Icke, a long-established and controversial writer known for blending political conspiracy analysis, metaphysical speculation, and arguments about human perception. Published by Vector Publishing, the book is presented as a large-scale continuation of Icke's decades of work on hidden systems of control and the nature of reality. Its central purpose is to describe what Icke calls the maze of madness, a condition in which human beings mistake a narrow, fear-driven interpretation of existence for reality itself. The book ranges across politics, technology, finance, media, spirituality, and consciousness studies, treating these areas as interconnected rather than separate. It is not a conventional academic study or mainstream political analysis. Instead, it belongs to the genre of alternative social critique and consciousness-based liberation writing, aimed at readers already open to questioning official narratives and exploring radical explanations of human identity, power, and freedom. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the maze of madness as a fear-based perceptual prison. The book's organizing concept is the maze of madness, Icke's term for a human condition shaped by distorted perception, fear, separation, and obedience to imposed authority. Rather than treating social disorder as only a political or economic problem, the book frames it as a problem of how reality is decoded. In this view, people are not simply manipulated by external institutions. They are trained to interpret existence through a restricted lens that makes conflict, scarcity, and dependency appear normal. This is important because it shifts the argument from surface events to the formation of consciousness. Icke's claim is that control becomes most effective when people internalize the assumptions that justify it. Fear narrows perception, and narrowed perception makes centralized authority seem necessary. The book, therefore, presents the maze less as a physical structure than as a mental and energetic environment. Its proposed escape begins with recognizing that much of ordinary social reality may be conditioned interpretation rather than final truth. Secondly, connecting politics, finance, technology, and culture into one control narrative. A defining feature of the roadmap is its attempt to connect many apparently separate fields into a single explanation of power. Icke's method is to treat politics, banking, digital technology, media, education, health policy, and cultural conflict as parts of a coordinated system rather than isolated developments. This approach is consistent with his earlier books, especially those that present society as managed through hidden networks and long-term agendas. The practical effect is a broad framework in which institutional change is read as evidence of increasing centralization. Digital identification, surveillance technologies, controlled information flows, and economic dependency are interpreted as mechanisms that can reduce personal autonomy while appearing to offer convenience or safety. The reasoning is not primarily institutional history in the conventional sense, it is pattern-based synthesis. Readers drawn to the book will likely value its panoramic scope, while skeptical readers may question whether the connections are sufficiently evidenced. Either way, the book's distinctiveness lies in its insistence that modern control operates across systems, not in one sector alone. Thirdly, the interdimensional dimension of Icke's theory of control. The roadmap also extends Icke's long-running metaphysical argument that human affairs cannot be fully understood through material politics alone. In his broader body of work, systems of control are linked not only to human institutions, but to deeper non-physical or interdimensional influences. This element is among the most controversial aspects of his writing, because it moves beyond conventional conspiracy literature into claims about the unseen architecture of reality. Within the book's framework, the visible world is treated as an expression of a wider field, and human perception is said to decode only a limited range of that field. The implication is that political control and perceptual control are inseparable. If people identify only with the body, social status, and material survival, they remain easier to direct through fear. The book uses this metaphysical scale to explain why ordinary reform is insufficient in Icke's view. Escaping the maze requires not only distrust of institutions, but a redefinition of what the human being is. Fourthly, consciousness expansion as the proposed road out of the maze. The book's alternative to fear-based control is expansion of consciousness. Icke's argument is that freedom begins when people stop identifying exclusively as biological individuals competing in a hostile world, and begin to understand themselves as consciousness experiencing physical life. This idea connects the book to spiritual and consciousness literature as much as to conspiracy writing. The proposed road out is not merely resistance to government, media, or finance, but a change in the level from which reality is perceived. love, unity, and infinite awareness are presented as counterforces to separation, fear, and submission. The reasoning is that control systems depend on predictable emotional reactions, anxiety, anger, tribalism, and dependence on external authority. If those reactions lose their grip, the mechanisms of control become less effective. This makes the book partly practical, though not in the sense of step-by-step policy advice. Its practice is internal discernment, questioning assumptions, observing fear-based conditioning, and refusing to reduce identity to the roles assigned by society. Lastly, a synthesis that demands careful distinction between insight and proof, because the roadmap is vast in scope. One of its most important features is also its central challenge. It asks readers to accept a broad interpretive synthesis that crosses many domains and levels of reality. The book's power for sympathetic readers comes from the feeling that scattered events and institutions can be understood as one pattern. But its weakness for more skeptical readers is that pattern recognition can exceed demonstrable proof, especially when political claims, technological concerns, spiritual claims, and interdimensional ideas are placed within the same explanatory structure. This does not make the book irrelevant. It means it should be read with attention to category. Some parts function as social critique, some as metaphysical speculation, and some as personal liberation philosophy. The most useful reading approach is to separate the questions it raises from the certainty of every answer it offers. Its value lies in forcing examination of perception, authority, and autonomy, while its claims still require independent evaluation where they concern empirical reality. In conclusion, The Roadmap: Escaping the Maze of Madness is best suited to readers already interested in David Icke's work, Alternative Explanations of Power, Consciousness Studies, and Critiques of Centralized Authority. It will also appeal to people who feel that mainstream political categories are too narrow to explain contemporary developments in surveillance, digital systems, finance, media influence, and social conformity. Its practical benefit is less about providing conventional action plans and more about encouraging sustained questioning of perception, emotional conditioning, and dependence on official interpretation. Intellectually, it offers a large integrative model that links external control with internal states of fear and identity. What makes the book stand out from many conspiracy-oriented titles is its scale and its emphasis on metaphysics. It does not limit itself to exposing institutions or disputing public narratives. It frames control as a problem rooted in consciousness and the way reality is experienced. That breadth is both its attraction and its limitation. Readers seeking academic documentation may find its conclusions too sweeping, while readers seeking a radical synthesis of politics, spirituality, and perception may find it distinctive. Its strongest use is as a provocative framework for examining autonomy, not as a substitute for independent verification. If you would like to support David Icke, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.